don't know why Jesus loved me.
I don't know why. I don't know why he came. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did.
He left his mighty throne in glory. Oh, to bring to us redemption story.
Then he died, but he rose again.
Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did. I don't know why. No, I don't know why.
I don't know why. I don't know why he sacrificed his life.
Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did.
Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be? Where would I be if he didn't care? Where would I be? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did. I don't know why.
Come, sisters.
No, I don't know why.
Please come.
I don't know why. I don't know why he sacrificed his life.
Oh, but I'm glad.
I'm so glad he did. I don't know why.
I don't know why.
I don't know why
he came.
I don't know why. I don't know why he sacrificed his life.
Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did.
Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad Jesus
sins has been washed in the footprints
of the stranger on Galilee shore,
and the voice that subdued the rough billows
will be heard in Judea no more.
The path of the lone Galilean with joy I will follow today, and the toys of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the toys of the road will seem nothing. I get to the end of the way.
There are so many hills to climb upwards.
I often am longing for rest, but he who appoints me my pathway knows just what is needful and best.
I know in this world he has promised that my strength he shall be as my day.
And the toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. And the toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way.
He loves me too much to forsake me
or give me one trial too much. All his people have been dearly purchased, and Satan can never claim such.
By and by I shall see him and praise him in the city of unending day.
And the toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. The toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way.
When the last feeble test has been taken
and the gates of the city appear, and the beautiful songs of the angels float out on my listening ears.
When all that now seems so mysterious will be bright and as clear as the day,
and the toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. And the toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. And the toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way.
I remember the last time that song was sung was by Brother Kingsley. I don't know how many remember. That's the first song he sang in church. And he was quite nervous, but what a blessing. It's good. It's come again. Just to remind us. Let's sing a chorus, and we'll ask the next lot of sisters to come. Now it's harder, because they sang well. If you don't sing well, it's your own fault. I like to sing first. It's easier. So if I make mistakes, the next song, it's okay. Amen. I don't know why Jesus loved me. Let's go, sisters. Oh, I don't know why he came. I don't know why. I don't know why he sacrificed.
sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did. I don't know why, 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 he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did.
God bless you, saints. I just wanted to give a testimony, as short as I could, that I should have given last week following the incidents in Romania where I think the saints were asked to pray for me because I couldn't come through. My plane was a transit through the UK.
Amen.
And so they didn't allow me to go through because they said you must have a UK visa, which in actual reality, it wasn't supposed to be like that. It's just that in Romania, they just didn't really accept anything outside of that. But it was really like very dreadful because you just come to your flight and you're not expecting anything like that. So I didn't give last week because I was thinking, I think I'm a bit awkward and odd and exaggerated and weird. So if I give this testimony, I don't think anybody will understand. The sister is, I don't know, is it enthusiastic for nothing or something? So then I gave testimony to Brother Andrew, and then he said, you must share it. So I give you to know that I'm actually worse than I'm going to say in reality. So what happened was my sister here was with me, and she really held so much faith. I was actually really standing back, and she was like, even though they denied that you're likely we're going to go through, and we actually passed through the check-in, she was in front pushing forward. And the woman we spoke to in the immigration stopped us because she left that office and went right by the last point before you get into the airplane. And so she stopped us there again. And so then we couldn't get in. Then fast forward, the sister called Brother George and told him the situation. Brother George had been searching and helping us whilst we were at the airport to look for another flight or any other way out. And he found a ticket that was the next day, early in the morning, the next day, that came straight to, that would come straight to Dublin. But he was coming to church, it was on a Friday, and there's not enough network here. And we had gotten into a taxi, literally, because we would get that plane is like a town away. And Romania is quite big. They're like 7-8 hour drives. So we had to just get onto a taxi just to catch the next plane and ride the taxi through the night, which was also very, like, money-wasting.
Almost but 700 we had no choice. Miles.
Yeah.
700,
yeah. Yes. It was actually 8.5 hours in a taxi. We stopped only 5 minutes the whole journey. But whilst we were in that taxi, my network was bad because of the travel. Brad George's network around here was bad, so he couldn't book the flight immediately. So he was like, okay, I'll book it after church. So he had the church service, and then after church, we were still in the car, and then he tried to look for the ticket. We didn't find it at all. It was gone. It was finished. And I had remembered when I was trying to book it that 5 more people were looking at that ticket, so I was like, oh. There was no other ticket that was immediate, and I had to come to work the very next week, so there was no option. I had to leave. Otherwise, I couldn't make it for work, and I didn't want to give another excuse because I had taken a week off the time I was sick, and this is the new job. So then we were literally desperate, like this, like there was no way. We're looking for, can we go through the, what do you call it, the sea or something? Can we go through? And literally there was, every other option was like from Thursday onwards or something like that. The other flights were still connecting flights, and we didn't want to do that anymore. So basically we were sitting in a taxi, and we had no hope of getting to any plane whilst we were already in the taxi. And it was quite a desperate situation, and I remember my sister was like feeling discouraged, saying, did we do something wrong? Because I prayed for these tickets, and what happened? And we were like, no. We were like, really, like, oh, even if, you know, okay, maybe we did something wrong, maybe we need to pray about this, that we did something wrong or something. And then we went on to pray. We were praying anyway as going on, but then this time I think it really kicked in that there's really no option here. And then we started praying. And I remember I wanted to pray to say, oh God, if I've done something wrong, I don't know, let me know. I'm sorry anyway, and things like that. And the moment I just set my eyes to start praying, the prayer that came out and the thoughts that I had that I was going to pray was totally, two totally different things. What actually came out was me just, the prayer was just like, Prince of Persia of this land, you have no right to keep me in this place. This is the prayer that just came through. And amen. I said, I have been in this land before and I know the problems they have, but you already lost because I left this land a long time ago. I am a child of God. Even if I have done something wrong, I have an advocate. The blood of Jesus sets me free. So you have no right to hold me down in this land. And I will leave in this day. I refuse to stay more than 24 hours. Amen. The Lord said he will not force anything into my hands. And I refuse to stay in this land. Whichever way I refuse, you must let me go.
Amen.
And immediately I just heard a voice that said, what do you want exactly? And I said, I want the host of heavens to come and fight the prince of this Persia of this Romanian land and set me free. I will leave. Amen. I will leave before 24 hours is done. I'm going. And it wasn't even 2 minutes after that prayer, Brother George called and said, actually, Brother Nato found this very same ticket that was gone and it's now back online. And he managed to book it. And then that's how we came through. And I just wanted to say, wow, I want to thank God, because prior to that, I was actually thinking, we are the children of God. I don't know why. I wonder why we haven't gotten to a place where we're actually like experiencing the third pool. It looks like the other Pentecostal people are doing some anointed great things, but we are the children of God and we're unable to speak things into existence. We are still crying about, like, why haven't we gotten to a place where your brother can just say, get your healing, my brother, and get the healing. What are we still doing? I wonder, maybe Jesus is frustrated that the bride is still sitting down. And I had been complaining about this. So for me, when that prayer went through, for me, it was like the Lord really just encouraging me in that aspect to say, you know, yeah, maybe it is time where you know how to pray as a child of God and you get what you're looking for. So thank God for that.
Amen.
Just want to sing one song because we were delivered. For us, it was such a desperate situation. So just to share one song with you. God bless.
Amen.
Well, you've heard the story of Paul and Silas, how they were bound and thrown into jail. They kept on praying, they didn't worry. They were serving a God who can hear. And after midnight, God sent an earthquake, and the prison doors began to shake. Those prison doors flew open wide, and Paul and Silas crept outside. He will deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from the fire. He'll free, like he fed out thousand and two fishes and bread, and he walked on the water. Yes, he raised the dead. Oh, we took by Daniel in the lion's den, and he saved Moses from Pharaoh's land. Open the eyes of the blind to see. I know that he'll deliver me. Now there was David, my heart delivered. When he fought Goliath, he did stand. He kept no armor, he took no weapons. First 5 stones and a sling in his hand. Lord, he went running to meet the army, and that Philistine man that stood mighty and tall. Come in the name of the Lord, that this mighty man did fall. He will deliver me in my time of need like those Hebrew children from the fire. He will free like he fed 5,000 with two fishes and bread. And he walked on the water. Yes, he raised the dead. Well, he stood by Daniel in the lion's den. And he fled for Moses from Pharaoh's men. Open the eyes of the blind to see. I know that he'll deliver me. He opened the eyes of the blind to see. I know that he'll deliver me. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing, let's worship. What a wonderful testimony. Behind that testimony, there's many stories. There's Brother Maxwell Sr., there's Brother Maxwell Jr. Everyone was emptying out the tray. Amen. Everyone, I believe everyone was praying. That's the grace of God. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song the brother requested. We shall rise, we shall rise. Amen.
In that resurrection morning, what the trump of God's heart sound. We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. Then the saints will come rejoicing, praise will be found. We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall. Amen, we shall rise, hallelujah. Its risen bars are broken. We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. In that resurrection morning, what a meeting it will be. We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. When our fathers and our mothers, oh, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. We shall rise, hallelujah, shall rise. Amen, we shall rise, hallelujah. In the resurrection morning, when its prison bars are broken, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. In that resurrection morning, yes, admitting it will be. We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. I shall say, my blessed Savior, who so freely died for me. We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. We shall rise, hallelujah. Amen, we shall rise, hallelujah. In that resurrection morning, when its prison bars are broken, shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. In that resurrection morning, what meeting in the air, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. And be carried up to glory that comes right and free. We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise.
We shall rise.
Oh, we shall rise, amen. We shall rise, hallelujah. The resurrection morning, when its prison bars are broken, shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. By and by, when the moon is in, oh, the saints, oh, could I gather, oh, we will tell a story, how we overcome, who will understand it, better by it. By and by, when the wind, oh, the sea, so God, I in my, I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away, Lord, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away,
saints. I want to dedicate these Bibles to the Lord for Sister Dube and the family. Also have some prayer requests. Brother Joseph Jr. Lubanza in Malaysia is asking the saints to remember him in prayer. It's his final year. And to ask God to grant him grace and wisdom to excel. It's a good petition. Let's also pray for Brother Alex. His friend's wife is suffering from cancer. Her name is Kinga. Also, Brother David's not able to come today. He's had to stay home because the guards want to see him, his children, about being a witness to something yesterday. So it was really, really the devil. So let's put ourselves before the Lord. Father, we bring these things before thee upon this day. First of all, we thank you for these Bibles. Father, we know that your word, that's a lamp unto our feet. Father, where would we be today if it wasn't for your scripture? Father, if it wasn't for our Bibles, if it wasn't for the revelation of your word, we wouldn't be here today. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that these books, Lord, Father, just ink on paper, that, Father, your spirit, Lord, Father, would bless these things to turn this which man has printed, Lord, into the everlasting word of the everlasting God, that it may be manna to the soul, that it may be, Father, light unto the path, that it may be a shield and a sword, and everything, Lord, bless each person that would inherit these Bibles. Use them for your glory, we pray. And Father, these needs that we have. Lord, I pray for this lady with cancer. Father, we just look unto thee. We bring her up unto thee. Lord Jesus, we speak her name before thee upon this day. But Father, thou art well, Lord, Father, aware of her situation. We pray for her soul. We pray for your grace and mercy, Lord, within the veil. We pray that you would touch her. We pray, Lord, that you'd reveal yourself to her as, Lord, the great and mighty conqueror, Lord, in the midst of her situation, Lord. And Father, Brother Dave, we pray for him, his situation. May you grant him grace, grant him mercy, bless him, bless his family, Lord. We pray, Father, intervene on their behalf, Lord. Father, we pray for Brother Lubanza Jr. Bless him there where he is, Lord. May he be a light in a dark place. Father, may, Lord, you bless him like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, Lord. Like Daniel in that day, Father, may the spirit of wisdom be upon him, Lord. Until even the inhabitants of that land would look at him, Father, and wonder where did he get such a wisdom, Lord. Father, his motive and his desire before thee, I pray that you'll bless him upon this day. Bless your people, Lord. Touch your people. Thank you for the visitors in our gates. Bless them as well. As you open up your word, we look to you. Be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Let's open Psalm 55, saints. We do greet our visitors today. Brother Oscar's got his friend Paul. God bless you. God bless you, brother. Amen. And also Brother Innocent has a friend, your Tamu. God bless you, Brother Innocent. God bless you, brother. Amen. God bless you. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Let's open Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Let's read the first 8 verses of Psalm 55. David. Psalm 55, a psalm of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me, and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. For then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. Amen. We know that's what the prophet used in the message on the wings of a snow white dove. Amen. Let's read Job 42 as well. Job chapter 42. Let's read the first five verses of Job chapter 42. Job 42. And then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated, saints. I have heard of thee, but now my eye seeth thee. Now what I really find quite outstanding in Job 42 is it really shows us what happens in the midst of trial. You know, on Friday we're looking at demonology. We're having a look at both the spiritual side and the natural side of sickness. But it's similar. You know, sickness is a trial, it's a temptation, it's a testing, just as much as any type of test and testing and temptation. But Job, he really got himself into a situation that because he didn't understand what he was going through, because he didn't have an inspiration to understand either the situation, why he was in it, and he didn't have an inspiration to understand how he was going to get out of that situation, that situation became a real, real trial to him. This was the great test in the life of Job. And it got to the stage that he says, you know, finally in the end, when he says it in verse 2, he says, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? You know, so Job knew that, hey, we can have counsel without knowledge. You know, you can be in the midst of a situation that you have no understanding, but it doesn't mean there's not going to be a lot of opinions and a lot of thoughts that you're going to have about your situation, or that other people are going to have about your situation. And that's why it says, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. And I think every single one of us, we can relate to that. You know, that there's things that we say, especially in the midst of trial, in the midst of circumstances that maybe the Lord's allowed us to go through. And we say, therefore I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. You know, Job didn't understand what was going on beyond the veil. He didn't understand the reality of what was happening in heavenly places. He was just looking at his natural circumstances. And the natural circumstances have a voice. We know there's the voice of your affliction. No, there's the voice of the trial that you're going through. There's a real strong voice. Because behind every trial, there's the spiritual dimension as well. You know, it's not just the natural circumstances that you're in at that time. But you know, there's the enemy. There's the enemy who would like to take advantage of those circumstances. Yes. He'd like to take advantage of that situation to try to turn it into something that it's not. And that's why Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, he says, when you pray, pray and say, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Hallelujah. You know, now you're not going to, I don't believe as a believer intentionally lead yourself into temptation, but every trial has the capacity to lead you into temptation. Amen. There's a difference between testing and temptation. There's a great difference in those two things. Temptation is inducement to evil. You know, so there's something that wants to lead you aside to do evil, to say evil. You know, to misunderstand, to blaspheme God, to speak against the things of God. Now, every trial can become a temptation if you're not careful. That when God puts you in a situation for it to be a test, Because that's what it is. God tests his children. The devil wants to come in on his dimension as well if he can. And he wants to try to take that situation to make it into now a temptation.
Amen.
And that's why Jesus was saying that. He says in the Lord's Prayer, whenever you pray, say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, because when the Lord leads you into something, you don't want to lead yourself into something that it wasn't supposed to be.
Amen.
You don't want to allow the devil to lead you in that situation to make it something that it wasn't meant to be. Because the Lord wanted that situation to be something where he wanted it to be a testimony.
Amen.
That's what he wanted it to be, that test to become a testimony. Just like with Job. Now the prophet says it in the Message, I've heard, but now I see. He says, Job, he says, let's take a little bit of his life. You know, because God wanted to use this man as a testimony. He wanted to use this situation as a testimony. But Job didn't understand that. He says Job was a prophet, a great warrior and a prophet, a mighty man in his day. So this was a man who had a great testimony. Now this wasn't just a lightweight believer, Job. He wasn't just somebody that would come once in a while and, you know, he'd get excited about the Lord and then not be excited anymore. But he was somebody, Job, that had a consistency. Now, he was somebody that really had an impact in his community.
Amen.
He was somebody that had an influence even on the people that were around and about him. None of the people around him at that stage would look at Job and say, but hey, now this man is a worthless kind of a person. They knew this is a special kind of a person, this person.
Yeah.
Job, his influence, his inspiration. And you can go and sit down with Job and he has an inspiration. He says, you know, the people would come from the east, the princes from the east, and they would sit in his presence and they'd put their hands over their mouth and they wouldn't speak when Job spake. No, so he was a man because he was a prophet. No, he was a man of great value in the things of God. You know, that's the kind of person that he was. He was a great warrior and a prophet. And the prophet says he was a mighty man in his day. You know, so he had a real, real testimony. No doubt he had been brought up and had served the Lord all his life. You know, so he was time-tested. He had a time-tested testimony. He was a time-tested memorial of what a believer should be. Yeah? And he says, and he had lived such a gallant life to the people that all had respects for him. You know, and that's a real testimony of a believer. Now, just as much as that's going to draw the attention of people, you know, people are going to pay attention to somebody like that. It's also going to draw the attention of the devil. Now, the devil's always going to be attracted to somebody like that. Somebody that's a real testimony, they've got to expect a lot of trial. They've got to expect a lot of things they're going to go through that they're not going to understand. They're going to expect there's going to be afflictions, there's going to be diseases, there's going to be troubles, there's going to be oppression spiritually, there's going to be oppression physically. There's going to be all manner of things because of what caliber of person this is.
Yes.
You know, that this testimony that this man had.
Amen.
The prophet says, but he had come to a place where he calls it being tempted of the Lord. But I'd like to use the word being tested by the Lord. Because to test something is different than someone being tempted. To test something is to prove what it is. That's what it is. Now, if you take a certain type of material and you want to test it, you want to check its purity. You want to check its integrity. You want to see if it's the real thing. Now, you want to see, is this fool's gold or is this genuine gold? Well, the best way is to test it. And the best test is take it to the fire.
Yeah.
And put it in the fire, and the fire is going to prove all things. The fire, all it's going to do is purify the genuineness of the genuine gold, and it's going to separate the impurities. And that's why the Lord allowed him to go through this. He says, but I'd like to use the word being tested by the Lord.
Amen.
He says, and every son that comes to God must first be tested. Every one of us. You know, your path that's been ordained for you, your destiny is going to take you through a lot of testing. It's going to take you through a lot of circumstances and situations. And this is the great thing that separates the real believer from the make-believer. You know, there's many people who want prosperity. There's many people who want the blessing. You know, there's the great prosperity gospel of our day now. And there's no testing in that kind of a gospel. You know, suffering is to be avoided. You know, temptation. No. That's nothing to do with God. But friends, God is in the process and the business of testing his children. Because every child that comes to God must first be tested, must be child trained. And the prophet says, if the testing gets too hard and we think it's too hard, take heed. You'll become an illegitimate child.
Amen.
No, so the devil's always going to try to come in the midst when God's trying to achieve something for a purpose. Satan is always the perverter of what God wants to achieve. So he's going to try to come into that situation where God has a very definite divine plan.
Thank you, Lord.
And every divine test has a beginning and it has an end.
Amen.
It has a divinely appointed duration.
Thank you.
God allows it to happen in the beginning and he's the one who finishes at the end. And it's never going to go beyond those appointed boundaries as long as we can keep it between us and the Lord. No, in any situation, if you can keep close and this is just me and the Lord, you're going to have a lot easier time than if you allow somebody else to get in who's the devil. You know, because once the devil gets into it as well, now it's going to become a temptation. Now there's going to be questioning God's motive and God's objective and why is he allowing you to go through that?
Yes,
yeah, because that's what the devil is. He's the accuser.
Amen.
So there's going to come accusations. He's going to start accusing you to say, you don't have enough faith.
Mm-hmm.
You think you've got enough faith?
Amen.
That's why you're in this situation, because you don't have enough faith.
Amen.
That's the devil. God's never going to speak to you like that.
Amen.
God edifies. He builds up. He establishes. You know, he doesn't deal with things like that.
Amen.
That's why Jesus says, when you pray, say, lead us not into temptation.
Amen.
Because many people have been overcome by this.
Amen.
Many shipwrecks.
Amen.
Along the way. Many shipwrecks that people made of their faith.
Yes, sir.
Failing to understand this principle. And giving ear to the wrong voice in the midst of their trial.
Amen.
Instead of trying to catch that inspiration, that revelation as to what is God trying to achieve here? Now, what is God expecting of me at this time? Instead, now we get onto those unholy grounds, those unsacred grounds now, and the enemy comes in. And the enemy comes in. When he comes in, friends, there's a capacity there for it not to work out the way that it was supposed to work out. And you've got to be careful of that. So the prophet says, but there's nothing can move a real born-again child of God away from his parent.
Amen.
Now we'll see that with Job. That's why God allowed this situation in the life of Job, because the Lord knew what was in Job.
You
see, the devil doesn't know what's in you. Now he just looks on the outward. He sometimes plays with your mind and we say some foolish things. He plays in your relationships. We behave in ways we shouldn't. No, he plays with your finance and you sometimes start to get grumpy and things like that. And that's all the devil looks at and he thinks, aha, I know this kind of a person. I know this caliber of a person who claims to believe. But friend, to the genuine believer, there's something different.
Hallelujah.
To the genuine believer who's really come in contact with God, there's something within the veil that Satan knows nothing about.
Amen.
Now, there's something that God has established in the soul of his sons and his daughters.
Amen.
And friends, that is an indestructible something.
Yes.
That's something that is omnipotent.
Amen.
That is as eternal as God is eternal.
Amen.
And Satan, because that's within the veil, he doesn't know that's in there.
Amen.
So he'll think that you're just like some other denominational sort of a person. Don't think you're just like one of these religious kind of a people. They want to serve God. You know, I was at university with some like that. And now they'd be all in the world. And all of a sudden you see them with their Bible again on a Sunday. And they're going to go and serve God and all that. And then they're back next week and they're drinking back in the pubs again. Now you don't want that kind of a testimony. You don't want to be that kind of a believer. And Job wasn't that kind of a believer. So the prophet says that. He says, you know, if you look at his testimony, he says, Satan had come up before God because he could come up and accuse the believers all the time. So he accused Job of many things. That was the beginning of this situation. Is that the devil, Job's testimony caught the attention of the devil.
Yes, sir. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You see, but the devil's an accuser, friends. He works in that realm of accusation. He always wants to twist things.
Yes.
He always wants. And the great thing he was going to accuse Job now before the Lord was Job's motive for worship. You see? He looked at Job. There was nothing he could question about his obedience.
Amen.
There was nothing he could question about the life of this man. He couldn't go before the Lord and say, Job's a secret sinner. No, the Lord will testify and say, have you not seen my servant Job?
Amen.
There's none like him in all the earth.
Amen.
He fears me. He escheweth evil. Yeah? And there was nothing that the devil could pinpoint there. There was nothing that he could come up before the Lord and say, you know, this guy is a hypocrite. He couldn't call him a hypocrite. But what he did, he came now and he brought it to the basis of, why does he worship you? Friends, that's a tricky one now. That's a tricky one. Now, that's the devil every time. You may find a good relationship between people. Then watch how the accuser will get into somebody and come and say, that person's only friends with you because of what they can get out of the relationship. Or they at church only like you because of this, or because you did that, or because you can do the other. You see, that's the way the devil works. He wants to come and question the motive and objective. So the Lord knows it. That's fine. If you want to play that game, we'll play that game. If you want to question the motive and objective of this man, why he worships me, fine. I'll go along with you. You see? And that's like I said the other week, it's like the Lord almost trapped the devil into it. Because the Lord was boasting and said, yeah, have you seen my servant Job? Like pointing at him, like giving attention. And the devil's already had put his attention on this man, and now he comes in the presence of God wanting to accuse, and the Lord's now boasting about his child. And then the devil now says, okay, I don't like this situation. So the devil doing what he does best. So the prophet says, so he accused Job of many things. And he says, Job, the reason he serves you is because everything's going good for him. Now that's the prosperity gospel through and through. People will serve God as long as things are going good. That's it. And they'll go, you know, as long as there's money in the bank, food in the fridge. As long as you're sitting on plush pews, as long as everything's nice, the good sound quality, yeah, we'll come and serve God. I remember Brother David's niece once when she came to worship, you know, and she came, but she just came and she looked and said, hey, how can I worship her? You don't even have a choir. That's the way that people work, you know, the way that people think. So he accused Job because everything's going good for him. I'll make him curse you to your face. Now the prophet says, but I want you to notice the confidence that God had in a believer. Now in whatever situation we're in today, friends, if God has allowed you to be in that situation, if you're a genuine son or daughter of God, God knows you more than a match for that situation. Because God has confidence in the work that he's done inside of you. Because God knows what's within the veil.
Amen.
So you may look sometimes and say, but I think it's too much, like Job. Yeah, he spoke foolishly sometimes just about in the midst of his trial. He says, I gave counsel without knowledge. I uttered words without wisdom. Yeah, you see, he was trying to use like the human level of understanding what he was given.
Yes,
he didn't know in heavenly places beyond the veil. That like we said on Friday, every temptation, every sickness, it starts in the spiritual realm first.
Amen.
It doesn't start in the natural realm. You know, cancer doesn't start in the natural realm. It's a life force. It's a demon first. And then it gets an opportunity. It finds a something, you know, some chemical something or a bruise or something inside the weakness, something genetically inside of somebody. And you find that spiritual force, that evil spiritual force now can now move into the realm of the material. And the thing can start now to manifest itself into something that you can see. But it never started in what you can see.
Amen.
And your temptation, your trial, your sickness, your whatever that you're going through, it didn't start in this realm here.
Amen.
It started in another realm. Amen. You know, it started, and sometimes it's the Lord permitting it because he wants to bring forth the testimony.
Amen.
He wants to really manifest something.
Hallelujah.
Not only does he want to manifest who he is, but he wanted to manifest to the devil who Job really was as well. He wanted to show what a real son of God was in the midst of trial. That's why he allowed it to happen like that. But God had confidence in him. He says, in other words, God said to Satan, you can't do it. Now, how do you know that your situation that you're in today, there wasn't something like that in heaven as well?
Hallelujah.
That the devil came and said, Greg, I'll put trouble in his home. I'll put trouble in his finances. I'll do this. I'll do that to him. You'll see he's not going to worship. It's just excitement, you'll see. His excitement's going to run out. But the Lord looks down and he sees within the veil and knows his work that he has done inside of there. And he says to the devil, you can't do it. And the devil now is ready now to meet up to the challenge. And the Lord says, there's not one like him in all the earth. He says, oh, if we could only be that kind of a man, that God could bestow that confidence upon us. Oh, friends, don't you want to be that kind of a person?
Amen.
It's not a kind of, doesn't mean you're not going to make your mistakes.
Amen.
Because Job had to offer his burnt offering continually. Yes, there was an atonement for the things done in the flesh, for his shortcomings, for his falling short. But his heart, his desire, his motive, he was a perfect man. He was perfect before the Lord. So the prophet says, Job was a man that carried out God's commandments to the letter. Exactly. And Satan knew that. And that's frustrating to the devil. And he says, if you'll let me have him, I'll make him curse you to your face. So God told him, now he's in your hand. Don't take his life. And Satan did everything that he could, got into every friend, almost took his life. But Job still held right on. There was no turning back.
Amen.
Friends, to a believer, there's no turning back.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how bad the sickness becomes, there's no turning back.
Amen.
You've thrown your lot in with Christ. You've thrown yourself in with the rejected king.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what circumstances come. Doesn't matter if you've got to go and live with him in the forest, if you've got to go and live with your rejected King David there in the caves. It doesn't matter the circumstances, how they change inside of your life. It doesn't matter what people will say about you. Doesn't matter how your community will misunderstand you. Doesn't matter how people will malign, you know, your motives and your objectives. It doesn't matter what your family thinks about you. It doesn't matter to you.
Amen.
If you've really met him. If you're a real child of God, friends, there's nothing can separate you from the love of God. There's neither sickness nor sorrow. There's no powers, principalities. There's neither things present nor things to come. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can. And friends, you and I nod our heads today, but we don't really know that. We don't. Because when the trial comes and you lose your job this week, yeah? And there's no money to buy any, put in any food in the fridge. Yeah, or there's trouble. Sickness strikes your child. Sickness strikes your body. Yeah, then you can't pay what you're supposed to pay on time. It's very easy for us to move out of that realm of knowing that, hey, it doesn't matter what comes my way. I'm going to go for it. Because God knows no retreat. That's why he said to Moses, speak and go for it. And there's something inside of you that knows that as well.
Amen.
There's a capacity just to keep going forward. The prophet says, there's no turning back.
Amen.
But the devil was convinced, I can turn him back. I can stop this progress. I can stop this momentum. I can hinder this work. I can turn it around. I can get this man to curse his God.
Amen.
Oh, friends. That's what he's resolved to do.
Yes.
He wants to make you curse your God. He wants to make you deny the very things that you claim that you believe. That's the objective of the devil. But the prophet says, when a man or a woman has once really come in contact with God, with that genuine revealed faith that God is, there's nothing, no time, nowhere can ever separate that man from his God. And that's the confidence God has in you. If you're his genuine son and his daughter, if you're not really his genuine son and his daughter, you're going to find it out along the way. Because a trial's going to come and you're going to become like what? You know, when you throw in the net and you bring out Mr. Turtle and you bring out Mr. What that the prophet speaks about. And once in a while you catch a fish. And the way that you know which one's a genuine fish, there's Mr. Water Spider. The prophet says he goes slop, 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 slop back into the water after a while. And the turtle, you bring it out, it goes plod, 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 plod back into the water.
Amen.
But the genuine fish, once it's caught, it's caught.
Amen.
And it's only the test of time.
Amen.
And trial really proves these things. That's why it's the trial of your faith. So the prophet says, Job, with his perfect revelation of God.
Amen.
He didn't have a perfect revelation of why he was going through what he was going through. He didn't have a perfect understanding of a lot of other things. But one thing Job knew was his God.
Amen.
Because he had met him. He had been in contact with him. It says Job with his perfect revelation of God and who God was. and how God loved him. No matter what the circumstances were, he waited for his faith to be confirmed.
Amen.
He knew. He had an expectancy. Job had a confidence in his trial.
Amen.
And there were certain things that gave him that confidence. He was expecting God to come on the scene to change his situation. And friends, in the midst of trial, it doesn't matter how deep your trial is. Doesn't matter how advanced the sickness may have gone. Doesn't matter how hopeless it may seem to medical science, to psychologists, whoever that it is. It doesn't matter how it is. As long as inside of you there's that something that Job had inside of him. Job had a confidence. He had an expectation. He knew God is going to respond to my faith. At some point, this situation's going to change. This situation isn't going to end like this. It doesn't matter how much the boils have struck me. Doesn't matter how much my wife has turned away. Doesn't matter how much my friends are speaking against my motives and my objectives and accusing me. But at some point, there's a turning point coming. And that's what every genuine believer knows. You know that he waited for his faith to be confirmed. He says, because he had a grip on God. You know, he had got a hold of something that was real. He knew who God was. He says, now, when the sick people that's in the building, the crippled people, or you that have a need of God, which covers every single one of us, when you can get that kind of a revelation that you are justified, yeah? That you are actually justified in asking for the things that you're asking for.
Amen.
Yeah? You've got to know that. Now look, if you're a hypocrite, you're not going to have that.
Amen.
If you're living in secret sin, you're not going to have that expectancy.
Amen. Amen.
You're not going to have that confidence to know that what I'm asking God for here, I'm justified.
Amen.
I have every right to ask God for this.
Amen.
There's no reason why I shouldn't ask God for this.
Amen.
You know, Job knew that. He knew every one of my sins is under that burnt offering. That blood, Jehovah's provided sacrifice that he has ordained. I put every one of my sins under that blood. Every one of my transgressions has gone up before God in the bloody smoke. And I've confessed it in his presence. He's forgiven me for the sins that I've done. And then he knew also, not only that, but I've kept all of his commandments. I've tried to serve God to the best of my ability. What is revealed to me, I've done. I don't have any willing disobedience inside of my life. I'm not running away from God. Yeah? I'm not living a hypocritical life. Yeah. Yes, I have my good days and my bad. That's what the burnt offering is for. But my motive and my objective are right. I want to serve him. I want to finish the course. I want to achieve the purpose that he called me for. Job had that confidence. He could testify of that. That's what the prophet says. When you can get that kind of revelation that you're justified.
Hallelujah.
When you are actually justified in asking for the thing that you're asking for. And that you believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That was Job's confidence. He knew, I'm seeking him. I'm seeking an understanding. I'm seeking a deliverance. I'm seeking a revelation. I've done everything that he told me to do. The prophet says, when you're in that situation, be certain of God.
Amen.
He preached the message, be certain of God.
Amen.
Because friends, heaven and earth's going to pass away before God doesn't intervene on your behalf. God at some stage, sometime, the situation's got to change. He's got to respond to your faith. He has to. He has to respond. He will respond to that kind of a faith that you justified. He says there's nothing can separate you from that faith that's anchored to you. But first, it has to be revealed to you. So that's the thing. Now that's where Job was. Job was sitting with obedience, with confidence, with a clear testimony, a clear conscience. But he didn't have inspiration.
Amen. Yes.
And that's why he was still on his ash heap. Because the only thing that takes you off your ash heap is inspiration.
Amen.
When that inspiration strikes that channel, your situation is going to change. And Job, now he was sitting there. You know, he was trying to believe everything that he possibly could. He's remembering back in his spiritual diary. You know, he's looking back all the things that the Lord did for him before. But he couldn't get a present tense inspiration. And that's where his trouble was. The prophet says, first, it has to be revealed to you. Now he's going to give us now the grounds why we should expect this to be revealed to us. The first thing that he speaks about is your motive and your objective. If you're expecting God to drop down an inspiration to come and change that situation that you're in, the first thing that's got to be right is your motive and objective. That's the first thing you got to question, is what is my motive? Why am I asking God for this? You know, well, you're asking God for something. Why are you asking God for that? He says, first you see your motives and your objectives have got to be right. You have to have reasons for this. God doesn't give you those things just because you ask. And you cannot ask in faith unless there's a real objective to that, to be in the will of God. So a genuine believer inside of yourself, you've got sickness in your body. Yeah? You've got trouble in your job. You've got circumstances that you don't want inside of your life. And you're approaching the Lord. You're seeking Him diligently. Because He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. The first thing you've got to search inside of yourself is, what is my motive? What reason am I giving to the Lord to answer this prayer? What reason? He says, what are you telling God? You've got to say the right thing. Sister Hattie said the right thing. And the inspiration came down and ministered to her need. So you've got to be saying the right thing. Not just with your lips. Because we can draw nigh with our lips and our heart be far away from God. But inside of our heart, our motive, our aim, the essence of why we desire this answer from God, we've got to make it clear with God. It's got to be the right thing. It's got to be according to the will of God. Now, any genuine believer, it's going to be according to the will of God. He says, if you want to be well, what do you want to be well for? If you want to be healed, what's the reason you want to be healed? What are you telling God? What do you want to do with your life when you get healed? We've seen so many people, God delivers them because of prayer. And then 2 weeks later, they forget. And they're back even worse than they used to be. God doesn't deal with His children like that, friends. God doesn't. God will allow the hypocrite to get away with certain things, but He's not going to allow you and He's not going to allow me to get away with the same kind of a thing. If your motive isn't right, don't expect. You can shout, you can holler, you can scream, you can have all the emotion that you want, and the situation's not going to change. Because the first thing, you've got to get your motive and your objective right. He says, but when you've got your motive and objective right, according to the will of God, then's when faith is revealed to you. That's when faith is revealed to you. That's when Job's on the ash heap and all of a sudden the thunders roar, the lightning flashes, and things are going to change now. Something's going to drop down fresh from heaven to change the circumstances of the man. Friends, we can't work ourselves up into it. Because faith is grace. Faith is a revelation. You can't work yourself up into faith. But you've got to diligently seek Him with the right motive. Approach Him, speak to Him the right things. And then you should have an expectancy inside of yourself. I'm going to be certain of God. My motive is right. My objective is right. I've ordered my cause before the Lord. Now I wait on Him for His answer. Because He's going to have to respond. He always responds to that kind of faith. Then he speaks to the prophet about selfishness and how God will never answer selfishness. Selfishness will never work. He says, your motives and objectives has to be exactly perfectly right. Then you have faith to ask, I want this to the honor and the glory of God. Then faith has a channel to move in. You see, so you've got to prepare the channel first. Yeah? You've got to seek Him diligently. You've got to come with the right motive, right objective. And when you're approaching him the right way, when you put your focus on this and you're coming with the right motive, you're opening up a channel now. There's a channel now between you and your deliverance. That's what you're opening up. And it was Job's obedience that gave him the confidence, his motive and objective that gave him the confidence. The prophet says, if it doesn't, then you've got mental, intellectual faith. Not genuine faith from God. That intellectual faith will get you nowhere. Might get you emotional, but it won't get you the healing that you're looking for. Now, friends, there's a difference between hope and faith, and we know that. Many times we're hoping against hope. There's nothing wrong with that. The prophet says genuine hope can lead you to faith.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you put your hope in God, yeah? You put your expectation in God, though you may not have the real, genuine faith at that time, but you continue to seek Him like that. You put your hope in Him, something's going to quicken back down to you.
Amen.
Something's going to happen inside of your life. He says, now when we're going to be prayed for in our sickness, I wonder if we've done everything that God requires us to do. So obedience is part of it as well. Have we followed every iota of Scripture? Have we given Him our hearts and lives to service? That's the reason you can't get faith enough. Because you haven't made this thing maybe sincerely from your heart. Oh, friends, that's very true.
Yes, sir.
There's never a time that a child of God sets themselves diligently to seek God. And within a short space of time, determined by God's sovereignty, there's not a response from heaven.
Amen.
It's impossible.
Amen.
You know it in your own testimony.
Amen.
You know it in your own, but when you're playing around and you're lukewarm, yeah? And the world has first priority inside of your life and your job is first and your other things are first. You'll never have this.
Amen.
You don't have, you're not justified to expect to get it if you ask for it.
Amen.
You don't have grounds for it. You know, your own conscience will condemn you. And the Bible says if our hearts condemn us, yeah, God is greater than our conscience, greater than our heart. But if we ask anything according to His will, the Bible says, we have this confidence that He will do it for us. And even when you ask Him, there's a difference in the prayer. There's a difference in the approach. There's already an earnest of the answer that responds back in your prayer. You know, it's not just one of those kinds of prayer like the prophets of Baal, like we always say, that you're jumping on the altar and you're cutting yourself and you think by the more you sweat, the more your God's going to respond or the more you bleed. It's not like that. It's not like that. But there's a certain something that you strike and you know it when you strike it. There's a certain approach and you know that this is pleasing to the Lord. Now, if I just keep going like this, something's going to take place. That's the way that it's got to be. Now, the prophet gives a very good example. He says, like King Hezekiah, give God the reason.
Amen.
He wanted to set his kingdom in order. And it's very powerful how it worked. Because the Lord speaks to him and says, set your house in order.
Yes, sir.
Yeah? And the man lies on his bed. Now, there's a certain type of prayer this man's going to pray.
Amen.
Now, this isn't just his put on his pajamas and his couple of minute prayer before he goes to sleep. No, it's a different kind of prayer. It's a life and death kind of prayer. And he says, Lord, remember your servant, how I've served you with a perfect heart.
Amen.
Oh, friends. That's when you'll really appreciate the walk that you've walked. You see, that's going to catch you now when you've been a hypocrite, yeah? When you put all these other things ahead of the kingdom of God. All these other things, whenever the Lord's wanted to deal with you, you put all these other things. You've made your excuses. I know I can't go today. I need to go. I bought an ox. I need to go check my ox. No, I can't come. I just married a wife. You know, I'll come again next time when it's more convenient. And then that situation strikes. Friends, it's not a nice thing. But when you've had the right motive and objective, yeah? When you know your sins are under the blood, you know you've consecrated your life to the kingdom of God. You know you've sought first His kingdom and His righteousness. Ah, friends, then you get like Hezekiah in your bed. When death is pronounced on you, when the cancer, the boil, the Bible calls it, is big and is growing, and there's a life that's wanting to take your life, and you need a faith, you need an inspiration, something to come and destroy that. Ah, friends, you can be justified now. And Hezekiah, when he prayed that day, touched God. God said, I can't argue against this man's prayer. This man's walked righteously before me. This man has served me. This man has used his resources for me. Now he's asking me to use my resources for him. Amen. It's only fair for me to do this for this man.
Amen.
So now the inspiration comes down. You see, heaven responds. And it strikes the prophet when he's walking out. And the prophet says, all the soldiers are asking and say, oh, prophet of the Lord, what's the news about the king? He says, it's too bad, he's going to die. And he gets to the next door on the way out, and the soldiers are saying, oh, what's news about the king? He's going to die. He gets right to the outer court. What news is there of the king? He's going to die. And then an inspiration strikes him and says, turn again and go and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, that I've heard his prayer. I've seen his cries. Thus saith the Lord, he'll live and not die. And then he reveals to Isaiah how to fix it. Go and boil some figs. And take the figs and put it on the boil. You see, use medicine to heal the man as well. But it's powerful how that worked.
Amen.
You know, so when that man had the right motive and objective, and he sought God, and he was justified in what he was doing, friends, there was a response came straight back from heaven.
Amen.
Even before Isaiah got out of the palace. Surely it's the same with you and me.
Amen.
Surely, that's how the prophet says.
Hallelujah.
Get it right before God.
Amen.
But where his problem was, Job now. Job was seeking for an understanding. He's seeking for an answer, but he can't seem to get this answer. He can't seem to get this inspiration. Friends, is that not where our trials can become temptations? When you can't get the inspiration, God's not speaking to you to explain why. God's not explaining to you how you're going to get out of this, when you're going to get out of this. It's not an easy time. It's a dark time, like with Mary and Martha.
Amen.
When there's no explanation, yeah? When there's no word coming back to explain why the situation went that far. When they were asking him, sending to Jesus to say, Master, he that you love is sick. That's difficult kind of times. Difficult times. The prophet says Job had no Bible. He only went by inspiration.
Yes.
And to a believer, friends, even if you have the Bible in itself is never enough without the inspiration.
Amen.
Without the inspiration, this word isn't going to change your situation.
Amen.
Unless he drops that something down into that promise. And that promise becomes real.
Amen.
By his stripes, John Quartz was healed.
Amen.
Ah, friends. Then he said, I see it. And the Lord healed him. But it needs that inspiration. He says he only went by inspiration. He was a prophet to whom the word of the Lord came to. He had only to be inspired. The only thing that had to happen was for that inspiration to strike him. And he knew then that what he said would happen because it was inspiration. Now, that's what the church, he says. Yeah? Tonight, if we will get the mechanics ready, get our hearts right, the things that we can do. So there's things that we can do. And that's all that God expects us to do, is what we can do. He doesn't expect us to do what we can't do. But if we can get our hearts right, get the thing fixed within us, to say, Lord, if you will deliver me from this, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to go and testify of you in the midst of the congregation. I'm going to keep my vows that I've made unto you. Like David would pray in that day. The prophet says, get every mechanic ready and stand there. Then we're ready for the dynamics to be lit off. And only God can do that. And you know it yourself, friend. You know what it's like. You'll try to wrestle with something. You'll try to struggle with something. You will try to rebuke something. You will try to resist something. Yeah? But until that inspiration strikes you, you're not coming off that ash heap. That situation is not going to change. You know, you'll be prayed for. You know, you'll pray yourself so earnestly. But the prophet's saying it here. God is the one that can do that. And that is to drop into your heart that faith.
Amen.
That says, I'm now healed.
Hallelujah.
Then it doesn't make any difference what circumstances are. You healed anyhow because it's faith. And by faith you healed. And sometimes it's so simple. We can make it so complicated, but it's so simple. And you yourself know what it's like. There comes that breaking point. Now you'll be wrestling with something. The devil will be trying to take advantage because he knows you don't yet have the inspiration. You've been trying to take advantage of that situation. It'll be like darkness around you because of the spiritual dimension of the trial that you're going through. There'll be all manner of accusations. You'll be trying in the greatest battle ever fought, trying to play with your mind, trying to say all manner of things to you. And then there just comes a point of grace.
Amen.
When something drops down. And when that drops down, it's over. And you know that it's over. And he knows that it's over. And the atmosphere changes. And something activates inside of your soul. And you know that God's grace has stepped into your situation. Every time it happens, God will never let you down. He'll never let you down. He says, when you know what you've done, exactly what God told you to do, then wait for that channel of inspiration to open up to you. Then you'll say, now I'm healed. When it drops in there, it's all over. Yeah. Oh, friends, I love it. Because it's not being clever, it's not being smart. It's not who can put the most effort into it. But we've got to put a diligence, yes. We've got to examine ourselves. If something's taking long, if something's refusing to go, if something's hindering you, like we said on Friday, that what Satan wants to do, he wants to seek for a gap. He wants to seek for an opportunity inside it, maybe in your health. Maybe it'll be in whatever realm of your being. But he wants to seek for that opportunity so that that life, that demon force, that darkness can come in.
Amen.
Can get a foothold now in your inheritance. Whether it's your spiritual inheritance, natural inheritance, physical inheritance. And then once it gets a foothold, that life, like the prophet says, that demon life, it wants to live off the resources that God has given you. That cancer wants to live off your bloodstream. Now it wants to live off the resources that God has given to you. And what is it doing? It wants to express its potential at the expense of you expressing your potential. So now there's a warfare going on here. There's two spirits in conflict here. There's you who's wanting to express what God wants you to express. You wanted to live the life that God wants you to live. And there's now another life now. There's a challenger that's coming.
Amen.
And he's taken an opportunity, maybe through your genetics or whatever that it is. He's found an opportunity. He's got a foothold. Ah, friends, now there comes warfare.
Hallelujah.
And the prophet says, there's the demonology now.
Yes, sir.
There's this darkness. And that life, if you will allow that life in you to fully express itself, that foreign life, it'll take away your life.
Amen.
Or it will hinder your potential. It'll stop you from being what you're supposed to be in the kingdom of God. And that's why his challenge must be met.
Amen.
There's got to come a time as an individual that you say, it's time now for me to take this by the horns, and this time I see it through.
Amen.
This time I see it through.
Enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Amen.
I'm tired of this. This has got to change. And you seek him. And then you have an expectation for him to drop it down inside of your experience. He says, now Job couldn't get the inspiration on him. And it was worrying him. And when you get into that kind of a fix, that's when the enemy moves into every friend nearly that you've got. And it's like that, friends. You know what it's like.
Yes, sir.
You know, when you can't get the inspiration, you in the midst of trial, you needing healing, you needing deliverance, whatever that it is, you needing the Lord to minister to your finances. And it seems the heavens are like brass.
Amen.
Seems like there's no answer coming back. Ah, oh, friends, the devil's busy. He's not silent. He comes on the scene because it's his time now. And he comes, and now it's the greatest battle ever fought. And now you've got to say, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Because in that kind of time, you want to try to spend as much time in this as it's just you and the Lord.
Amen.
And as little as you and the Lord and the devil. Because the devil's got his opportunity now.
Amen.
Like he did with Job. Job didn't understand why. He didn't understand what he had done. But there were plenty of people around him who were willing to tell him what he had done. Even though he hadn't done it.
Amen.
But all these people were there coming to tell him, you know, the reason this is happening, God doesn't hear a sinner. God doesn't hear a hypocrite. You see those three comforters, what they said. When has it ever been since the beginning of time that a man could come into this situation like you was righteous? Tell me one. That's what they were saying to the man. And Job in the end, yeah, I mean, he was a mortal man as well. He got fed up.
Yes, sir. Right.
He got fed up. He says, okay, so wisdom's going to die with you. He says, so you're the only ones that have got wisdom. And then he starts getting onto some shaky ground now. He starts getting to a place now that he starts questioning God. You don't want it to become like that.
Hallelujah.
You don't want your trial to get to that stage that you start questioning God. Because God is sovereign. And he knows what he's doing. And the testimony of every believer is that he said, God knows what he's doing. He's got it all under his control. I may not understand it. You may not understand it. But he's got it under his control, friends. Otherwise, he's not God. We shouldn't be serving him. But he is God and he knows what he's doing. But the devil's going to come and play with your mind now. There's the mind games that start. When you're lying on your bed at night, yeah? And all of a sudden there's that coldness that starts to draw near. You know how the presence of the Lord is inside of your soul.
Amen.
It's like there's a warmth. There's a glow. There's a life. There's a fire that's there. But when the devil comes, it's like a coldness that comes. It's like those cold fingers that come now to start reaching inside of that realm. It's not a nice feeling that. You know, you get up and you try to pray and you read your Bible and you just like Job was at that time, but he just couldn't get something to activate in his situation. And then you go back to bed and you lie there once again and the thoughts start coming. And then you go to visit your relatives and so forth, and maybe your sister, your brother says to you, oh, so you're still struggling with that. Oh, I remember Uncle so-and-so, he died of that. And your dad, remember dad, he suffered from that and so forth. It must be in your genes, you see. And friends, there may be truth in that. You may have a weakness in your genes, but it's not that which is the problem.
Amen.
The problem is this demonology.
Amen.
There's an evil force that has taken an advantage of that weakness in your genes. And he's moved into your inheritance now. And he either wants to shorten your days, or if he can't shorten your days, he wants to limit your effectiveness. And if he can, he wants to frustrate you. And he wants to frustrate your purpose until you say, I'm not serving God anymore. These things have only happened since I started serving God. When I was out there watching football on Saturday, watching football on Sunday, yeah? When you were sitting in the pub and yo, having a good time with your friends, you never had a lot of those troubles. But why? Because like Job, you were testimony.
Amen.
You've attracted the attention of the devil.
Amen.
You should be seeing that as a badge of honor, friends. When he gives you a hard time, it's because you've been giving him a hard time.
Amen.
When he wants to come to limit your effectiveness, it shows he's scared of your effectiveness.
Amen.
When he wants to hinder your potential, he knows the potential that's there. But he's not going to speak to you like that. He's not going to say, you know, Greg, I'm coming to give you a hard time because you've got a tremendous amount of potential, my friend. He's going to come in and say, ah, my friend, does God really love you? How can God love somebody like you? Yeah. And all that you do, you drive up and down, you drive up and down. And then I look at your situation, you ask God to answer. And after all you've done for me, he doesn't even answer you there. And he comes and puts his arm around you. And be careful when the devil puts his arm around you. Be careful when you get into close fellowship with the devil, because it's not going to come out well. It's not going to do you any good. You need to keep us far. Lord, deliver us from, keep us from temptation. Let this trial be a blessing. Let not this trial be a temptation. You don't want it to move into that kind of a realm. And that's why in those kind of times, be careful who you fellowship with.
Amen.
Because Job had the wrong kind of fellowship.
Yes, sir.
Now, those believers, they put him deeper onto the ash heap. Every word they said put him deeper on his ash heap. Ah, friends. But there's another kind of fellowship. There's a kind of fellowship of Christ in his people.
Amen.
That somebody can come and that inspiration, somebody can just speak into your circumstance. And there comes an inspiration. And there's a dawning of a new day. And light comes into the darkness. And you feel you want to gird up your loins, take out your sword again, and you want to face that devil down right to the end. That's the kind of thing that you want inside of your life at those kind of times. Listen to what the prophet says that the devil said that he'd make him do. He says that's when Satan comes in. When you're in that situation. Amen. Let me have him. I'll make him curse you to your face. Hey. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to make you curse God. I've seen people do it. I've seen people get so discouraged with Christianity. They end up cursing God. They end up becoming unbelievers, infidels, skeptics, atheists. Oh, friends. But they've just testified against themselves that they never really met him. Because anybody who's really ever met him, friends, it'll never come to that. You may speak some foolish things from your lips. You may have some foolish things pass through your mind, but you will never get to that stage. That's why it says in all of these things, Job sinned not. Neither charged God foolishly. But who charges God foolishly? It's the devil. He's always accusing God. He's always saying, ah, it's not fair. Look what he does for you. Yeah? Others, all your friends are married. How old are you? Ever since you came to this message, marriage is going backwards, not forwards. When you came to this message, you were right on the threshold. You could have sorted your marriage issues out straight away. But every year you stay here, your chances are receding. Do you think anyone's going to marry you dressing like that? The devil does that. Yeah. And he points you to your friends. And that's why now Facebook is the great friend of the devil most of the time. Because it just puts an image out. You don't know what's behind the veil behind that image. And people don't go and put on there, you know, I'm having suicidal thoughts today. You know, my marriage is about to break up. My husband is addicted to drugs. I can't overcome my prescription medicines. They don't put those kind of things there. They just put the nice picture with the makeup and the hair being done nice and the nice fashion. And you know, the family is down at the beach. You know, he has the children and their teeth are like, it's like photoshopped, so white like that. It's not fair, friends. Tell the truth. Because we as believers, we tell the truth. They must tell the truth as well. Then we can weigh it in the balance fairly and see which is better. But as long as I don't tell the truth, it looks like life's better if you're not a believer. Ah, friends, you don't want it to be like that. You don't want it to be like that. And that's why we need inspiration. We need something to come when you're on that ash heap. Because you've stood for him. There comes a time, God every time stands for his children. Amen. Remember those testimonies about Fox's Book of Martyrs? And you see those people, it was hard. They wouldn't understand the pain they had to go through. Maybe being put on the rack and being tortured and so forth. It was hard. And it seemed like heaven was silent when they were going through it. Then they were thrown in prison and sent in those cold prisons and get all those sicknesses from the cold and the damp, yeah? Because of their witness for Christ. But what does it say in the church ages? I know your tribulation.
Amen.
He says, I know. I'm paying attention.
Amen.
I'm not unmindful of your suffering.
Amen.
I'm not unmindful. There's coming a day. There's coming a turning point. There's coming a payback time. And then you'd find those believers would go and everyone would be saying, oh, Thomas Hawks, he's going to go. You know, Thomas Hawks with his two friends, yeah. And his friends are, yeah, I don't think we're going to make it on the fire, friends. This is going to be too much. It's going to be too painful. Thomas, you go first. And then say, Thomas, if it's bearable in the flames, if God has given you grace, lift up your hands. And there goes Brother Thomas. And he goes there to the stake and they tie him there and they put all the wood around and they put all the things to kindle the flame, and they burn the man. And the man's standing there beating his breast. He's praying in the midst of the fire. And his fingers burn off. And the skin on his face gets burned until you can hardly see them. And they think, surely the man's dead. Then he puts his hands up, claps his hands three times, falls forward into the flames. And then his friends went with joy. Friends, it always pays off. Your expectation in him will never be disappointed. He knows how much we can take. He knows how to get the most out of the situation. He'll never allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to go through. He never will. So when the devil comes to you and tells you it's too much, why is he allowing this? You're searching God. All these other people at the camp are getting their papers, but you're not getting your papers. It happens like that, friends. Solomon, when he was out of the spirit, he got into that kind of a condition.
Amen.
He looked at the wicked. He said, I don't understand. This is vanity of vanities. He says, I see princes walking and fools riding on horses. That's the way of the world. That's the way. If you want to look in that dimension and fellowship in that dimension, there'll be a lot of disappointment. Because that's where Satan works. The prophet says, Satan said, I'll make him deny his message. The very thing you've been testifying of. The very thing that you claim to believe. You're going to be tested on it. You're going to be tested on it. Because when the devil sees you and I happy about the things that you believe, he's waiting. He says, okay, I'm going to see if they really believe what they believe. I'm going to see if this is not just words and excitement. I want to see if this is something which they really believe. And he goes up to the Lord because he can't do anything to unless the Lord permits it. He's the great shepherd of the sheepfold. And he goes up and the Lord says, have you seen my servant? Yeah, have you seen my servants, how they serve me? And they say, it's not genuine. Their worship isn't genuine. What they're testifying of is not genuine. The Lord says, okay, don't take their life. And then all of a sudden there comes a change in your life. And friends, we know these different seasons in life. There comes a season of prosperity. There comes a season when everything seems to be going well. But don't expect it always to be like that. It doesn't take long until the season changes. And now you get into the season of adversity. You get into the season of affliction. It's like you're in the quarry now. It's like it becomes difficult inside of your life. And it can just change overnight. It can just change so suddenly. You know what it is in life. Oh, but there's a reason. Because you're being tested on what you believe. Now all those things that you're testifying to other people, because it's so easy to tell it to other people. Somebody was saying it the other day, I think Brother David was saying it. He was speaking to some believers and telling them, oh, you must do this, 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 this. And then he got himself in a situation at the end of the week, and then he started thinking, but hey, I'm not supposed to do the same thing that I was telling other people. It's very easy to be like that. Amen. And it's only the trial of your faith
Amen.
That puts those things in your experience.
Amen.
When that faith is put to the test, and at first you'll be a little bit shaken because, but hey, this is the first time I've had to go through this. Now, how should I really handle myself? But then as the ship gets steadied by the grace of God, as you look to Him and you keep on going forward, He establishes something inside of your faith. That thing which you've been speaking of before, like Job, I've heard, but now I see.
Amen.
Now I see. Now I know for myself. But it's only a trial that can allow it to become like that. That's why it says, I'll make him deny his message. I'll make him curse you. The devil has confidence, friends. He has brazen confidence. It's like an arrogance. He thinks he can get believers to curse God. And that's why the devil came into Job's wife. And what did Job's wife say? Why are you keeping your integrity? Curse God and die. Friends. The prophet says the devil will get into every one of your friends.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Get into all those people around you. Oh, friends. But at that kind of a time, every David needs his Jonathan.
Yeah.
Every Jesus needs his John. Yeah? John who will be there right at the foot of the cross. When everybody else is gone, he's going to be there. No, he's going to be there in the trial. He's going to be standing true. Friends, you so much appreciate that when God gives you those kind of things. He says, I'll make him deny his message. I'll make him curse you. I'll make him go back and say it was all wrong. Don't put it far away. How many people have we seen leave this message and now say it's all wrong?
Yes, sir. Many.
Friends, those are testimonies of the devil. That's the devil established a testimony there. But to the genuine believer, there can be a testimony the other way. That it doesn't matter. You might go through what they went through. You might have the same questions they had. You might go through the darkness when it seems you can't get the inspiration to drop down at that time. But there's something inside of you that just knows inside of yourself. He knows what he's doing. This situation's got to change at some time. It's got to change. I'll make him go back and say it was all wrong. Then he tried him with everything he could. To all the great man and the friends that he used to have. But Job stood flat-footed.
Amen.
That's why in that song it says, stand flat-footed in your trial. That's where
Amen.
It came from. Job stood flat-footed. He says, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if my situation doesn't change. It doesn't matter what's going to go on. I'm not going back. If I have to stand here, if I can't seem to make it much ground at this time, but I just stand here with my sword in my hand, flat-footed, I'm going to wait on him.
Amen.
And he waited on him. Job stood flat-footed, for he knew that he had heard God's voice.
Amen.
Then he says, oh God, help me tomorrow night that I can get the wings of a dove. We'll have a look at that sometime. I heard the voice of God that said something, and it's going to happen that way. Just the same as these other things has happened, it's going to happen. The prophet was in a situation, and he couldn't seem to find deliverance. And he tried this, and he tried that, and he went here, and he went there. It had a lot of different people giving him opinions. But God's season came. And when God's season came, the inspiration came down. And when the inspiration comes down, the situation's going to change. And that's when he came to preach the message, I've heard, but now I see. And what was the turning point with Job in the end? It was when the Great One came down himself. Job 42, Job 41, and so forth. That makes all the difference in the situation. God never came down and answered all of his questions. That's the amazing thing about it. The Lord never came down to Job and said, Job, let me explain really what was going on. Let me tell you, there was this happening in heaven and this. No, he didn't explain that to him at that time. He just came down and said to Job, Job, where were you?
Amen.
When I laid the foundations of the world. Amen. When I set the course of the sea. When I set the moon to be its guard and its place. Yeah. When I set the mountains in their place. When I made the great Leviathan. Yeah. And all the different things. He says, Job, where were you? And then Job, when he was in his presence once again, he realized, but Lord, I've uttered words without knowledge. I've spoken things that I shouldn't have spoken. I've taken counsel, but my counsel had no knowledge. Because now I know that no thought can be withholden from you.
Amen.
Now I know. Amen. And friends, that's all that we need. He is the answer to our every situation. Amen. To Mary and Martha, what was the answer? Jesus came and called.
Amen.
It was his personal presence. He didn't have to explain to them why. But when they saw the results, they understood that it was all worth it in the end.
Amen.
That he did know what he was doing. That he knew the right time, he knew the right season.
Amen.
And then when Martha approached him with the right attitude.
Amen.
And the prophet says she had, in his presence, she got never had been done before faith.
Amen.
She came to a place there, in his presence, she got to a level of faith she had never had before.
Yes, sir.
And she had an expectation that something was going to take place.
Amen.
That this sorrow, this hardship, this hope that they had buried there in the grave. Yeah. And when he came himself and she approached him the right way,
hallelujah,
in his appointed season, she knew something's going to take place.
Amen.
And that's why, like Brother Junior put the quote the other day on the youth, even now, Lord.
Amen.
Even now.
Amen.
It seems hopeless.
Amen.
To natural people, it's hopeless.
Amen.
He's stinking in there. He's been in there 4 days. The Amen. Outward appearance is hopeless. But when the inspiration came down and struck her, and she stood in the presence of he who was the resurrection and the life, and he came with that anointing of the resurrection upon him at that time, she could say, but even now, Lord. That was serious. Even now, I know that whatsoever you ask God now, he'll give it to you. Oh, and the prophet says, that shook him. That touched him. And that's when he put his shoulders back and he stopped weeping at the tomb of Lazarus and he spoke into that situation. And it's the same every time. Ah, friends, it's inspiration. It's the inspiration of the Most High. You know, if you're on your ash heap, that's all that it's going to take. Just approaching him the right way, your motive, your objective. What are you saying to God? Have you put everything under the blood? Are you walking in obedience to him? Be certain of God. He's got his time. He's got his season.
Amen.
You stand flat-footed like Job.
Hallelujah.
You let the devil do his worst. Because he has his season as well. You let him come here, play with your mind. He'll try to get into Mr. Critic, Mr. Skeptic, Mr. Unbeliever all around you. He'll try to do everything that he can to shake you and test you at that time. But that genuine work of God inside of you, the foundation of God stands sure.
Amen.
It stands sure. And then, like Brother Donnie preached at time about the great chess game. Then the Lord says to the devil on the chessboard, says, okay, it's my turn now.
Amen.
It's my turn.
Hallelujah.
And the devil, he'll try to have two moves if he can. Yeah. I said, no, that's not the rules. It's my turn now. And then Job was sitting there, and the devil had done everything that he could. God had had his turn. Then he said to the devil, now it's your turn. And the devil did everything that he could. And then finally God says, okay, now it's my turn once again. And friends, those are the stepping stones in your experience. Those are the milestones. Those are the landmarks in your experience. Those are the things that you can point back to that become an absolute to you. Is when now he steps in on behalf of his children. Our friends, let's keep our faith. Let's keep our hope. Let's keep our expectation in him. Let's not give in to the trial. Let's not give heed to the wicked one. Let's not give ear to those kind of things. Let's resist the darkness. Let's doubt those doubts the prophet said. Let's doubt the doubts. Let's not believe the unbelief. Don't do that. Just continue to feed your faith and continue to speak to him. And then like that woman, be certain of God. The prophet says the meal jar just had a little bit left. Yeah. It looked like it was hopeless. She had done her best. She had tried to serve the Lord all of her days. She had raised her son. Her husband was a great man of God, had gone and died in the battles of the Lord, or however he died, the prophet says. And there she was. And the devil had his opportunity. And he was saying to her, after all that you did, and you've got to a stage, there's not even enough food in your home. There's not even enough. Look how thin you're getting. Look how your clothes are getting worn out. But friends, she was a genuine believer. The prophet says she was a certain category of believer, and that's why the Lord sent his prophet to her. He didn't make a mistake sending his prophet to her, and he didn't make a mistake sending the prophet to you either. Because he knows the category of believer that you are. That no matter how drastic it became, she wasn't going to deny her God. And then she stood there, and the prophet says, be certain of God. At that kind of time, when you've done all that he's told you to do, you've met all the requirements that he told you to meet, and you're standing flat-footed on his word, be certain of God.
Amen.
And then the inspiration struck the prophet and said, go down. And he came down to Zarephath. And then just when she was taking the last little bit, gathering the sticks, thinking that it was the last meal and then they were going to perish. The inspiration struck the prophet and says, make a little bit for me. She said, but you only have enough for me and my son to eat one meal, then we're going to die. He said, thus saith the Lord. Friends, it's that inspiration when it strikes, thus saith the Lord. The cruse of oil will not go dry. The barrel of meal will not waste until the Lord sends rain once again in Sodom. And the prophet says, be certain of God. What a testimony in this kind of an age to find people that will be certain of God. That it doesn't matter what the doctor says, be certain of God. He has to intervene. He will intervene. He knows what he's doing. He knows his season. He knows his time. Just be certain of God. And as you seek him, as you approach him, knowing you're justified, you approach him with an expectation.
Hallelujah.
Our friends, a channel's opening up. And you know it inside of yourself. You can see spiritual realities. Things are starting to become clear, starting to become real once again. At first, the sickness, the trial, it's like there's a mental side to it as well. You know, it plays with your mind and you just don't feel yourself and there's a darkness that's trying to afflict you. But you start seeking God, and start seeing how a channel starts to open up. And you know inside of yourself, I'm just going to continue down this path because I know where this path leads. Because the testimonies of your past have testified it to you that you're going to strike something real. And when you strike something real, all that the devil did, he may have done a lot of things over a lot of days, a lot of months, a lot of years. But all that he did, when the Lord steps in on the scene, he undoes it all.
Hallelujah.
He says, all those years of the palmer worm, all those years of the locust, the caterpillar, I will restore them, saith the Lord. I will restore. He says, though you've been in captivity, I will deliver you from your captivity and I'll take you back to where you were before you went into this captivity. Our friends, let's keep looking to him.
Amen.
I think he's more than worthy for us to keep our hope and our expectation in him.
Yes.
Let's be like David. David wanted to go on the wings of a dove and run away from the problem. God says, no, that's not the way we handle situations here. You know, we all do in the midst of trial. If only I had wings like a dove. And I'd fly away and get away from all these problems. God doesn't lead his children like this. He says, when you go through the fire, I'll be with you. When you go through the floods, it'll not overflow you. I will be with you. That's what he says through it all. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's be certain of God. Let's put our faith and our hope and our expectation in him. Let's look to him tonight, today. But the prophet says, God, there's not many things God cannot do. But one thing that he cannot do is fail. God cannot fail. God cannot fail you. He cannot fail me. He'll never fail. He's the unfailing God.
The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas, but the anchor holds in spite of the storm. Oh, the anchor holds today. The ship is battered. Oh, the anchor holds. Oh, the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas, but the anchor holds in spite of the storm.
Amen.
I have heard of Christians long ago. They were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die for the Son of God. They would not deny a great angelic fire sings. I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor. Pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now the years have come and the years have gone, but the course of Jesus still goes on. Now our time has come to count the to reject this world, to embrace the cross. And one by one, let's live our lives for the one who died to give us life, till the trumpet sounds on that final day. Let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to Oh, to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, to the Lamb. Took my place, who wore my shame, I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Oh, we pledge, I pledge allegiance to, oh, to the Lamb.
Bow head saints, let's pledge allegiance to the Lamb before we go today. Let's come before the Lord. Now if Satan has shaken you, it's time to fight back. You know, if he's been pushing you around, it's time to get to the stage that you say, though I perish, yet I will serve him. If you've made mistakes, Job had his burnt offering. We have a perfect atonement of sin today, saints. We have the blood of the Lamb. We have the one who not only bore our shame, but He bore our iniquities and our transgressions as well. Our friends, we have a finished, perfect atonement made for us. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us. Every time. So why not put under the blood? Why not take away the grounds of accusation of the enemy? And then stand flat-footed in your trial. Speak unto the rock. It will bring forth its life-giving resources. Let's come before the Lord. Let's speak to Him upon this day. Oh Lord Jesus, how...
Jesus, we thank Thee for Your goodness, Your kindness, Lord, Father, in Your fervence to Your word. Father, oh God, You nourish our soul. Father, You feed us, Lord, Father, with virtue that is required, Lord, even at the right time, oh God. Lord, when we look, Lord, even into Lord Savior, Father, this, Lord, Father, word ministered upon this day. Father, oh God, Lord Savior. Take us, Lord, Father, to our next service, Lord. Lord, provide all our needs in Christ Jesus. Between now and Wednesday, oh God. Father, You keep us, Lord. Let us ponder, Lord, even upon this theme, Lord. This principle, Lord, that is so wonderful, Lord Savior. Knowing in Thee, Lord Savior, that the devil, our enemy, Lord Savior, oh, he's out to get us, Lord. And he cannot, Lord Savior, when we are under the blood, oh God. Give us grace now. Give us wisdom always, Lord. Jesus is holy. Father, we're grateful for Your mercy, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We're grateful, Father, for Lord, in Your house there's much wisdom, Lord God.
Oh, God.
Father, Lord Jesus, when we just follow those simple principles, Father, when You said, Lord, Father, for us, never to forsake the assembling of the saints.
Yes, Lord.
For Lord, in that assembly, Father, You have a provision that will sustain and will take us, Lord, Father, to our next service, oh God.
Amen.
Father, this provision, Lord, that would answer, Lord, the very things that we would have, the very desires and the very needs, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Jesus, Lord, let us never get acquainted or get used, Lord, to such, oh, Father, wonders that You, Father, display even in our midst, oh God.
Oh, Lord.
For, Lord, Father, we came today with expectation, and we've received, Lord, Savior, Lord, in abundance, oh God.
Amen.
Jehovah, Lord, You who nourisheth our soul and provideth, Lord, as we have need, Lord, Savior God. Father, no one can say today, Lord, that we've not been fed. Lord, we have, Lord, Savior God. And Lord, Father, in those moments of trial, in those hardships, Lord, Savior, of the trial, Lord, let us always remember, Lord, Savior, as has been ministered, Lord, like in the life of Job. Amen. Father, that you, Jesus, Lord, knows what it takes to put the bride in rapturing condition, Lord, Savior God. And those trials that come our way are only to burn us, to shape us, Lord, Savior. Oh, God, Lord, Savior, that we would look unto thee, Lord, Savior God. You pardon us, Lord, where we are foolish and, Lord, Savior, so, Lord, Savior, small-minded, Lord, Savior.
Amen.
Oh, God, not to see beyond the trial. Father, for we are, Lord, encamped with, Lord, Savior, innumerable of, Lord, Savior, witnesses, Lord. Amen. Lord, in your word, in the message, Lord, Savior.
Amen.
Father, there's so much, Lord, Savior, God. But, Lord, when the trial comes, Lord, Amen. Father, many times we turn, Lord, Savior, to, Lord, those, Lord, Father, uncomforters, Lord, not
yes.
comforters, Lord, Savior.
Amen.
People that would minister, Lord, Savior, dark counsels unto us, Lord,
yes,
and not turn, Lord, to those who would minister wise counsels of light, Lord, Savior God.
Amen.
Give us grace, Lord, and give
Amen.
Us a fear, Lord, like we had before, Lord, Savior. When, Lord, Savior, we would gather, even, Lord, Savior, in a, Lord, apartment, Lord, and there'd be just brothers of light faith, Lord, and those things that they spoke, Lord, they were so virtuous, Lord. It was like, thus saith the Lord, Lord.
Lord,
we never argued those things, Lord. We never had our own mind or our own wisdom, Lord. We just took it as God speaking, Lord.
Amen.
Then when we went to your house, Lord, it was even greater, Lord, and
Amen.
Those things were confirmed, Lord.
Yes.
But Lord, there's much voices, Lord, and there's much confusion, Lord, Savior. Give us grace, Lord, and
Amen.
Give us wisdom, Lord.
Amen.
Even
yes,
in this
Lord.
Dark day, Lord, as has been ministered, Lord, Satan, our enemy, Lord, Father, he desires to, Lord, Savior, oh, Father, wailing us, Lord, to distract us, Lord. But,
Amen.
Lord, Father, we shall not be moved, Lord.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Shall not, Lord, Savior. Father, oh, God, let him, Lord, Savior, have preeminence, Lord. But we, Lord, Savior, will stand steadfast, Lord, Savior.
Amen.
And we will, Lord, Savior, Father, where we see his footprints and his fingerprints, Lord,
yes.
we will bind and rebuke, Lord, every, Lord, Savior. Father, evil, snare or trick, Lord, that he would try to bring, Lord, to your bride, Lord, Savior God. Give us wisdom, Lord, Savior God. For you said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask, Lord. Let him search in your word, Lord,
Amen.
Savior. All the answers are there, and you have ministered, Lord, Savior. Father, to us, Lord, as we have need this day. Father, as we part, we desire that you would part with us, O God.
Yes.
And let us keep the day reverent, Lord. Let us keep the day that we would focus on those things, Lord, of eternity, Lord, Savior.
Yes.
Not on things, Lord, that are carnal, Lord, Savior God.
Amen.
For there are many needs that we have, Lord, today. Many desiring papers, work, whatever the need would be.
Amen.
But, Lord, if we take that simple Psalm 23, Lord, you said, you are our shepherd, Lord,
yes.
and we shall not lack, Lord.
Amen.
We shall not need, Lord, Savior, for
Amen.
You've already provided, O God.
Yes.
All we desire, O Father, is just, Lord, Father, to complete this day, Lord, Savior, for enough evil is in this day.
Amen.
Father, we look unto thee now. Guide us as we part. Bless our brother and pastor who's ministered unto us upon this day. Restore virtue unto him, Lord, Savior, and grant him, Lord, that he'd see these very things, Lord, coming to light and fruit coming out, Lord, even of this word, Lord, Savior God. And let us grow, Lord, Savior, from glory unto glory, that we, oh, Father, would be like the Ephesian church, Lord, not like, Lord, Savior, Father, that, Lord, Savior, church of complaints, oh, God,
Amen.
But we, Lord, Savior, rise higher and higher, Father, until, Lord, Savior, we break into another realm that's beyond this realm, Lord, Savior. Give us grace as we part. Part with us, O God. Bless, Lord, Savior, the needs that would be amidst us, Lord. Our brother David, how Satan, Lord, Savior, has stolen, Lord, his fellowship. But we believe we were together in fellowship, Lord, Savior God.
Amen.
We look unto thee now. You be glorified. You be lifted above all. We bless your name. And we thank thee, Lord, Father, for your goodness and your kindness. In Jesus' name we ask of these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Pray. Let's worship a little bit, brother.
There's a deep
an inward hunger within my soul. God has promised in His word He'll make us whole. Well, it's time for it to happen. That huge portion of heaven it will make and bring to pass. That tremendous victory with love divine. Oh, I'm tired of trampling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. Lo, before me, I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking, power that will buy. Remember up the true ministry of power, power that will bind. Remember up the true ministry. Now it's my time for consecration. I'm feeling a change in me. I will enter my secret closet and close the door behind me. I will keep the feast of unleavened bread with truth and sincerity. I'm expecting Jehovah Jireh, my Lord, to live with me. For I'm tired of trembling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. Lo, before me, I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking, power that will remember up the true ministry. Oh, power, power that will bind, that number up, that boom ministry. Lord, keep thy holy fire burning deep in my soul. Change me from glory unto glory till thy image you behold. Let's keep this holy convocation till we become a new creation. For it's the message in you and me to bring to pass that tremendous victory. Oh, I'm tired of trembling on this mountain. Breaking power that will bind, that number up, that good ministry. Oh, power, power that will bind, that number up, that good ministry.
Let's sing one more, Deborah.
Amen.
Let's sing amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Do you love Him?
Amen.
Do you believe? Do you believe Him? Amen. 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 Amen.
gonna love him? Yeah. Are you gonna praise him? Yeah. Are you gonna worship him? Yeah. Amen. 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 Yeah. Do you love him? Yeah. Will you serve him? Yeah. Bible is true. Oh, eh. Oh, amen. Amen. Eh. The Bible is true. Eh. We believe in it. Eh. Word of God. Amen. 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 Eh.
Our friends, let's not forget that beyond every valley is peace. Let's sing that song, Peace in the Valley. Doesn't matter what you're going through, friends, it's the Prince of Peace. There's peace beyond what you're going through. There's peace in the valley.
Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yes. Well, the morning is bright and the Lamb is alive, and the night is clear as the day. Oh, oh, there'll be peace in the valley, oh, oh, someday. There'll be peace in the valley, oh, oh, Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble, I say. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Flowers will be blooming, and the grass will be green, and the skies will be clear and serene. Oh yes, well the sun ever beams in this valley of dreams, and no clouds there will ever descend. Oh, oh, there'll be peace. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble, I say. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh, yes. Well, the bear will be gentle, and the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down by the lamb. Oh, yes. Well, the beast from the wild shall lay down with little child, and the chains from this creature that